Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but maybe afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, UFC, politics, film, TV, collectibles, you name it, we talk about it. It's been a week gone by. We had a hell of a show last week. We got a very, very fun and funny and exciting show this week. I'm here with my co-host, TJ DeSantis. TJ, how are you?
I'm good. I feel like I'm in the Brady Bunch right now. It's like, here's a story of two lovely ladies that are on a podcast that is Bruce's own. Something.
That's very good, TJ, actually.
Thanks. I've been practicing.
All right. There you go. Well, we're on the show. So now that you mentioned the two lovely ladies, the first lovely lady we have is somebody everybody knows about. We don't know what she's going to say till she says it. We laugh with her. We've cried with her, and we've gotten mad with her. So we'll bring her back on. The wonderful, the sensual, the beautiful, the ever-loving Penthouse Pet director, writer, star, you name it, she's done it, Sammy Phillips. Hi, Sammy.
Hi, guys. I just want to know, when have you ever truly been mad at me? Never, ever.
Oh.
Never, ever, ever.
Oh,
I didn't say mad at you.
No.
What I meant, we got mad at the world together.
Oh,
we
ran
and we paid.
I've been mad at Sammy. For the record.
TJ's been mad. That's for sure.
Yeah.
No question. Well, Sammy, I know you're here, and we always have a good time with you talking about the week that was, the stories in the news. And, of course, we brought back the Sex and Relationship Show. If there's any questions that the listeners have written in, that TJ will read to us, and we'll go over on the show. But
I have three of them before the show is over today.
Three?
Yeah.
I want our guest to be on there with us. So I've already given her name away. Let me say this. I had the pleasure of meeting a wonderful girl in Las Vegas about probably 5 years ago, give or take, at was it the International Model Contest. And Nabril, you can correct me if I'm wrong on the title, which she won. And she and her friend Liz Kirkland and I all went out to dinner the next night, had a great time getting to know each other. And Nabril and I have stayed friends ever since. She's an amazing woman. She's from Australia, young girl. I call her a woman, amazing girl, a professional model, beautiful. Beyond personified beautiful, and also the mix of deadliness as a boxer. She is a professional boxer. We're going to talk about her bout coming up September 18th in Dubai, of all places. But let's bring on Avril Mathy. Hi, Avril. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. That was quite an introduction. Thanks, Bruce.
Oh, really? That was off the cuff, but I'll take it. Thank you. I'll take all the notes.
It's almost like he gets paid for those introductions.
Yeah, a little bit.
he's given me a couple in the street before too. Remember that?
Oh yeah, get you going. Most definitely. You know what? Sammy meet Avril. Avril meet Sammy. Meet the TJ.
Hi.
I had a quick question. So you guys met when you were modeling, and now you're boxing. Did the modeling come first, and then the boxing, or were you always boxing?
The modeling did come first, but at the time I met Bruce, I was doing both modeling and boxing. And kind of how we met was because I won this pageant, and the owner of the pageant was a friend of Bruce and and knew that Bruce was in town for the UFC like a couple nights later. And he said, wait till he hears that the winner of our pageant is a fighter. And so he called him, and Bruce was like, I have to come down and meet her. And he came down, we met, we hung out, and yeah, we became friends.
Yeah, it was great. And then you and Liz went to the UFC the next night.
Yeah, you gave us tickets to the UFC. That was amazing. That was the first time I ever went to a live UFC, actually. And I had so much fun. That was the Conor McGregor night when he knocked Aldo out in 7 seconds. And everyone was like, oh, my God. It was over so
dang.
Quick.
I mean, those are some good sought-after seats, Buff.
I'm telling you, those seats were going for about $5,000-$10,000 a piece, right? They were crazy.
I'm pretty sure it said $10,000 on the ticket. Yeah.
I had two tickets. What am I going to do? Go stand in the hallway and sell them as Bruce Buffer? Like, here, come watch.
Well, I'm just saying, I was in town that weekend. You didn't offer me the tickets. I'm just saying.
DJ, you weren't, weren't a contestant. Yeah, don't feel bad. You weren't a contestant. Neither did you win the beauty contest. So,
but I could have. I could have. I mean, I didn't know about it. I could have.
You could have entered. And I know what Sammy's going to say. Don't worry about it. I didn't invite her, right? Is that what you're going to say, Sammy?
What? How did you know what I was going to say? All I can say, I will say one thing, Bruce Buffer, and I know you very well. Why are you crimson red? Why are you so red?
I think that's just on your side. He doesn't look red to me.
Yeah, maybe it's...
No.
She's trying to think I'm blushing again. It might just be the lighting. That it is
I don't know.
Everyelle, do you think Bruce looks red? Does he look flushed?
He's a little tinge of red, yeah.
All right. So I tried, Buff. I tried. They're both coming at you hard, so sorry.
I don't know. If I'm on the show with two beautiful women, I have a tendency to blush, so maybe that's what it is. So take it as a compliment, okay?
Maybe it's just the air conditioning, right?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. Yeah. It could be my morning walk in the sun, so who knows. But all right. Red Bruce is here. Beautiful. Sammy Phillips and Avril are here. And TJ is here. So let's get the show rolling.
Why do you call everyone beautiful on the show except me? This is bullshit.
I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. Maybe I have a
tendency. Why can't you call him handsome? Beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'll take mildly attractive at this point.
And here we are with the mildly attractive but truly handsome TJ DeSantis.
But stop, Buff. Stop. Jeez. You know how to flatter a boy. Thank you.
All right. Sounds good. I'm a flatterer. All right. Here, speaking of flattering, let's flatter our listeners. Now, Sammy, you asked a very pertinent question, but you know, one thing I want to state here is that Avril's been at the boxing for quite a while. She's an amazing athlete, period, whether it's volleyball, you name it, whatever. She's definitely a physical specimen. She can carry herself in any sport, I would assume. But Avril, you know, when you think about the fact that you're a model, your job is to be beautiful, your job is to be presentable, yet you're getting punched in the face. Okay, where's the motivation to be a boxer? And is it fulfilling your dreams fully where you're at right now?
Yeah, like for me, it's just about being the best that I can be. And boxing is something that I've found an out. I'm a very competitive person. Let's just start with that. Very competitive. So when I was modeling, like, you know, I do regular modeling as well, but I really loved the pageants because it's a chance to like get up and compete and, you know, put on a show and perform. And over the years of doing pageants, I started to get good at them and like I would win them, you know, and it's like, it's still exciting, but it starts to lose that adrenaline that you got when you first got up on stage and you were like, oh my God, all these people, you know, and I have to answer a question and I don't know what it's going to be and whatever. So when I discovered boxing, so I used to do Muay Thai, just a little background, which is like kickboxing with elbows and knees. Oh, of course, you know, who am I talking to here?
So I mean, Sammy just learned. She just found out. So.
I had no idea exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So I used to do Muay Thai like back in the day just for fitness. I had no interest in fighting because Muay Thai is just brutal. And at one point I broke my foot in training. So boxing was literally the only thing I could do. I couldn't run, couldn't jump. I could just like throw my hands. That was it, and hobble around on the outside of my foot, the part that was not broken. So I started boxing and just fell in love with the coach that I had at the time. He started teaching me more like the movement and the slipping and rolling and not getting hit and the tactical side of it rather than just throwing the punches. And so that was when I was like, okay, like I need to have a fight. Someone needs to test me and make sure I'm doing this right. And I had my first fight and it was such an adrenaline rush. It was like everything that I loved about modeling and pageants and stuff like that, but times a thousand. It was the best feeling ever. And I just became addicted to boxing. Sorry.
Go ahead, Sammy.
Did you win?
Yes, I won my first two fights. I lost the third one. So my third amateur fight in Australia, there's not that many girls in the amateur boxing. I was very lucky because I never turned up to weigh in and didn't get a fight. But it would be like you'd always have to go up weight divisions, down weight divisions, up or down experience levels. Like you just compromise whatever just to get a fight, basically. And so it was my third fight. this girl had had like, I don't know, 15 or 20 fights or something, way more than me, but she was smaller than me. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll take it. Like, this will be easy. And I went in with this attitude. This girl killed me. She ran circles around me. And that was when I realized that experience is really important and there's more to boxing than just throwing punches and maybe like evading a few. Like, you need to evade it and come back and have a game plan and set things up. And yeah, so that first loss really taught me a lot and made me hungrier to actually be really good at boxing rather than just, you know, training.
Wow. What do you think of that, Sammy? I mean, you work with beautiful women all the time at Penthouse. I mean, is there any boxers that you've known at Penthouse? I remember Perfect 10, that magazine that was out where, you know, you couldn't have any extra work or whatever, all natural. But they used to put on boxing events with their really? Perfect 10 models. Oh yeah, no, I went to a couple of them. Wow. I had a couple friends that fought in them, and these girls, they fought their hearts out, man. They boxed each other silly, right? And it was actually pretty popular for a while until Perfect 10 went out of business.
You know what's funny, Bruce? So back in the day, Avril, I'm a Penthouse pet from June of 1993. I'm 55 years old, I'm super old, whatever. But back in my heyday, Penthouse used to sponsor events globally and certainly nationally. And we did an event with Budweiser and it was a boxing match. And Bruce Buffer, your brother, Michael, was the ring announcer. I have photos with him. I have to dig them out of some box somewhere in my garage, but I do have photos with him. And I was a ring girl that wore a Budweiser bodysuit with a Penthouse sash. And I would hold up the cards and it was super exciting. It was the first time I've ever been to a boxing match and it was thrilling. So I think hot, sexy girls and boxing definitely have been going together for a while.
Well, they've been going together for a while just from the standpoint of the ring car girls, but now you're talking about putting on the gloves and getting in there and throwing hands under Marcus of Queensbury rules.
Yeah.
And, you know, people love watching it. Avril, when you're boxing and you're doing your matches, I know you have this one in Dubai. Tell us about this Dubai, because one thing, when I hear Dubai, I smell, I hear, I think money, okay? So because they definitely do everything first class there. What do you expect on this event? Is this going to be a highly viewed event with a lot of people in the arena? Do you know about your opponent? And how did this fight come about? I mean, how are you getting these fights?
So the main event for this card originally was Thor versus, do you know who Thor is? He's the mountain from the Game of Thrones, that ginormous big guy, against Eddie Hall, who's like number one powerlifter, strongman guy, I think. And so the combination of the two of them fighting each other was supposed to be the heaviest fight in the history of boxing ever. And it was a big hyped up event. And that fight will still happen, I think, in March next year. But during the whole process of leading up to the fight, Eddie Hall injured his bicep. And so he was out of the fight. And now Devon LeRat, who's a famous arm wrestler, is going to fight him. Anyway, so because the main event was like these strong, big guys, the undercard was a lot of powerlifting and strength athletes as well. And there's a girl, Steffi Cohen, she's a 25-time powerlifting champion, world champion, set a million records. Like, she's an athlete, an absolute beast, like amazing, phenomenal athlete. And she's just got into boxing about a year ago. So me and her were supposed to fight in an exhibition fight together. That was what I was asked originally. And then I guess as, you know, they were figuring out the card and stuff, her team decided they wanted her to have a real fight instead of a exhibition fight. And we've sparred a couple of times. And Steffi's doing really good, but she's only been boxing for 1 year. You know, I've been boxing for 9. So there's quite a level difference there. And so to have a real fight against me didn't really make sense if they want to like grow her career and grow her as a boxer. So they decided to keep me on the card because obviously, you know, I bring a lot of publicity and stuff with social media and stuff like that. And, you know, being a real boxer and stuff like that. So they wanted to keep me on the card, but just in a separate fight to Steffi. So that was how I ended up on that card there. originally the show was going to be in Vegas, and then it got moved to Jacksonville. I'm not sure why that happened, but then
COVID.
Exactly. And then because of COVID again, it got moved to Dubai. They were concerned that with rising COVID numbers in the US, that it would just be safer to have the event in Dubai. So it's a huge event as far as like the scale of the event. And I'm sure it's going to be like amazing as far as the production. They're only having, I think, 1,500 fans at the event. So right. The actual people there, you know, it's great that we have fans at all, especially now. But yeah, it's going to be much smaller than what was originally planned. But what they're really pushing is the pay-per-view, which is only $10. So crazy at the moment anyway. I don't know if they're going to put it up. But yeah, so it's mostly going to be a watch it on TV kind of fight.
Well, what's the date? Still, the date is September 18th.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, it's been planning in the works for like 6 months. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's changed. It's changed, right? The date has changed.
No, the date never changed. Just the venue. Yeah.
Got it.
But that's why I think it changed, because over 6 months, like, so much has changed in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Avril.
Every day the change happens. Every day.
Yeah.
Just even today, you know, I was going to tell you, Sammy, Henry was going to school this morning, and somebody phoned in a mass shooting warning to a school that a mass shooting was going to happen at a school today.
Oh, wow.
So they found the kid and they did the report. But even Henry at 16, his mom asked him, are you a little nervous? He goes, yeah, I'm a little nervous going to school today. I mean, that's every day is changing. Every day we're in store for something new. This is a crazy world in which we live. This event that you're having here. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was going to ask you, because your fight's so close, what are you doing to prepare? Like, what's your like regime? Do you work out a certain amount of hours a day? Do you mentally prepare? Like, how do you get ready for, and then this has been planning for 6 months. So have you been like really prepping this whole time? I'm just really curious.
Yeah, so I had another fight on June 26th, and then I took a holiday, went away for like a month to Europe, and then I came back and I had 8 weeks to prepare for this fight. So for those 8 weeks, just in general, Monday to Friday in the morning, I have my boxing training, which is usually like 1.5 to 2 hours long, and that won't be like hard for the entire 2 hours, but it'll be like hard in parts and more technical in other parts. But it's still like a pretty brutal session, that 2 hours. And then usually in the afternoon, not every day, but most days, I'll have some kind of conditioning. So I might do like sprints at the track, or I might have a weight session in the gym, or I might do like some plyometric session. If I have the afternoon off, then often I'm going to the beach and playing beach volleyball, which is not in the training program, but I just can't sit still. So that's my hobby. I need to find non-active hobbies. That's my biggest problem in life, I think.
Yeah, but you always like to be on the move, Avril. And, you know, if you go to Avril's Instagram site, which is Avril Mathie, which is AVRILMATHIE, Sammy, you'll see all the different things she does. This girl is active all the time. Vacation-wise for her, I mean, she's in love. Very happy to say that, right? Everything's going great with you.
Yeah.
Your right?
Yeah, everything good.
Yeah, it looks like you guys have a great life together. And, you know, she'll take off. She'll go to Greece. Boxer? She'll go everywhere. What, Sammy?
Is he a boxer? Is he an athlete?
He plays beach volleyball. That was how I got into beach volleyball. And before beach volleyball, he played basketball. And he has done boxing. Like, he knows so he's originally from Argentina, and his family moved to Puerto Rico. So he moved there when he was like 20, and that was how he entered into America. From there, he met guys that were in the Coast Guard and was like, oh my God, that's such a cool life. So he became a boat driver, like driving the high speed boats in the Coast Guard. And that's what he's been doing for the past 7 years. So his first station that he got stationed with the Coast Guard was in Philadelphia. And he's a massive Rocky fan. So while he was there, he was like, obviously I have to learn to box. So he went for a year, he went to a boxing gym and like trained and like learned how to box. And he had the intention of fighting, but like, he just wanted to have a couple of amateur fights, just, you know, for fun, for the experience. But he never did, because he was so exhausted, and he realized, like, you can't, like, from his job in the Coast Guard, it's very physical, you know? And so he was like, I just couldn't fit the boxing training and the job. And obviously one is my job and the other is just a hobby. He's like, I realized what goes into this sport. Like, you really have to dedicate a lot of time and effort and recovery too, to be able to like put on a performance. So he never ended up having a boxing fight, but he did train like a boxer for a year. So during the pandemic, it was really cool because we were like sparring in the car park, and I actually had someone who like kind of knew what was going on and knew how to move with me. So that was great.
Like, think about this though. What she's saying is, Sammy, is she's got a complete Latin American stud loving boyfriend driving the speedboats for the Coast Guard, which is a dangerous job to begin with. And I'm sure he's faced a lot of danger in that. Multiple sports, boxing, basketball, volleyball, studstress with the stud. That's all I'm hearing. What a duo you guys must make walking out together. My gosh.
I wish he was here right now so I could put his head on the screen.
Well, that's all right. You can play in the video later.
Hey, real quick. I'm curious. When it comes to boxing, the women haven't got the same sort of respect in boxing that I think women have in mixed martial arts. It's funny. Boxing has a much richer history, at least longer history, I guess, with women. Than mixed martial arts, but MMA has sort of surpassed it. But one thing that MMA had to sort of go through, Avriel, was they were only allowed to fight 3-minute rounds at first. Now they're allowed 5-minute rounds. In boxing, though, it's still 2-minute rounds for the ladies. Would you like to see that changed?
Yeah, I'd love to fight 3-minute rounds. For me, part of my, I'm not the biggest power puncher. I'm more like, I'll wear you down and out volume you and wear you down to the point that you're exhausted, and then my punches might be powerful enough to do some real damage, you know. So usually if I've got like TKOs or in some of my harder fights against like tough opponents, when I've got my TKOs, it's like in those latter rounds where I sort of like beat them down a little bit.
Bruce, you're a better boxing historian than I am. Do you know why women only are afforded the 2 minutes? Because it doesn't make any sense to me.
No, I don't really don't know. I don't know the reason why that is. And, you know, you take some of the fine athletes, Lucia Riker and Christy Martin, you know, two of the most devastating boxers in the history of female boxing. There's no issue with them even going 3-minute rounds. I think it's just, and pardon me if I say this wrong, but I just think whoever making the rules was not treating men and women equal.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's okay. They're women. They can only do 2 minutes. You know, they're men. They can do three. No, that's not fair. I mean, we're all about equality in life. If you're going to box, and you should be able to box equally, not against a man, but equally in rules, is my opinion, man or woman.
I agree. They say it's something to do with health, but I've never actually heard the specific science or the research that, you know, decided that rule, but they say it's something to do with women's health, or I don't know.
So are women's marathons not as long as men's? Like, what?
Yeah, you know what I mean? It doesn't make a difference. I'll tell you where the comes in health. You're a beautiful woman, and you're getting punched in the face for an extra minute. Yeah, okay, maybe that does have something to do with it. Okay, but the bottom line is you're boxing. You're boxing.
Yeah.
Period. You're boxing.
Oh, can I ask a question?
Nope.
Yes. Okay.
Of course you can.
Okay, so Avril, clearly you're a woman and you have breasts. Now, when some guy goes to punch your face, you can easily do a little of this, but your chest is an actual target. So are your breasts. Do you wear a breast protection? Do you wear something to cover the tatas?
You can if you want to. I don't. Unless I have to. Oh my God, funny story. So my very first fight, I'm in Dominican Republic and I'm in the ring about to fight. And the ref comes over and he says, do you have breast protectors? And I said, what? No. Stupid me. I should have just said yes. And he goes, oh, you can't fight without them. I was like, wait, what? A girl from the crowd pulled the inserts that you have in your your sports bras. She pulled her inserts from her sports bra out and gave them to me to put in my coach had to put them in my top, and apparently that qualified. It was like the flimsy bra insert, but it was fine because it was
a protective.
It was the rules apparently. So in some So that was in Dominican Republic, my first fight. And I guess in Dominican Republic, it's a requirement. I've had other fights in other countries where they didn't even ask and no one even cared. So I don't know if it's always a requirement, but you can wear them if you like to. I don't really care because I've... Pardon?
What are they made out of?
Usually it's like a hard plastic. Okay. But I don't really... I've only ever once taken a punch to the breast that hurt. And it was because they got me like sort of right on the edge. But if you hit it like straight in the boob, it doesn't hurt for me. I don't know. I've never had a problem. And also your hands are there. Your elbows are there, like blocking sort of, I don't know, a big punch, I guess.
Keep your hands up.
I call a lot of women's. I call a lot of women's mixed martial arts fights, and we had one athlete who was still breastfeeding their baby, and she returned and she took one right there, and because she was breastfeeding, it hurt extra, and it ultimately led to her getting TKO'd a few moments later. So yeah, it's a thing.
Oh, I thought you meant word everywhere.
No, it's just more sensitive, Sammy.
Oh.
Yeah,
I personally, that plastic breast protector sounds very uncomfortable to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was boxing as an amateur, my first few fights in Australia, it was mandatory to have a breast protector. But I had a thing that was like from here to here, and it covered the entire, and it was like plastic all the way across. It felt like cheating. Like it was like if someone hit you, you literally felt nothing. So right. After a few fights, I just stopped. I don't know. I didn't really like to wear it. It felt like, I don't know. Yeah, felt like cheating.
So, Sammy, you want to step in and throw a couple punches or what?
Me? Oh, God, no. I'm weak. My bones are brittle. Although, when I was younger, I was a scrapper and I held my own. That's all I'm going to say.
You're from New Jersey. Of course you did.
Yeah, of course you did.
Brooklyn. Same thing. I know.
Brooklyn,
actually,
even worse.
Every poster would be like, better. What? Brooklyn is not the same as New Jersey, but yes.
Better boxing history in Brooklyn.
Oh, there's got to be.
No, there is. That's a statement, sure. not a guess.
Well, Avril, let me ask you a question. Sorry to take away from that on the Brooklyn thing, but Avril, you know, with where you're at in boxing now, you've been at this now for 4 or 5 years, however, whatever the time has been.
Nine.
You've had your pro. Nine.
Nine.
Years.
Nine.
Yeah, many- I've been in America. I've been taking it seriously for 5.
Okay, so how many fights have you had, professional fights?
Professional fights, I've had 7. This will be my 8th coming up.
This will be your 8th fight. And whatever you're getting paid, you don't need to tell us that. I hope it's very well and worth the time. But I think this is more of a passionate move on your part, is my guess. Although you want to make the money, I'm sure. Where do you see your boxing career going? What is your goal for your boxing career? What would you like to see progress into in the next 2 years?
For me, it's really just like a personal challenge. I just want to have good fights. I want to have better and better opponents every time and see how far I can get. And I used to place importance on like being world champion. That was a really strong goal of mine. I really wanted to be world champion. But then I started to think about it more and I was like, why is it that I want to be world champion? Because, you know, I would meet these girls that are world champions and they've got nothing and they're struggling to get fights and they're struggling to get opportunities and they get paid next to nothing. And so I started thinking about what is it about being a world champion that's important to me. And what I realized is that I like to inspire people. I like for people to look at me and be like, she shouldn't be boxing, but then look at what she's doing. And she has no, like, I could do so many different things, but I do this because I love it and because I want to do it. I didn't come from this background. I got kicked out of home when I was 15 and made it on my own and moved to a different country and like living life the way I want to live life and being healthy and being fit and, you know, being disciplined and giving myself goals and achieving them. And that's the way I live life. And I realized that just by living my life and thanks to like social media, Instagram, YouTube, etc., like, and being able to share that with people, I'm already doing what I love to do, which is inspire people. And obviously, like, to be a world champion would be an icing on the cake. But for me now, what I realize is it's more important for me to have like tough, good fights against good opponents and put in a good performance and stuff like that than just win a belt, you know? I mean, it would still be great to win a belt if those two things can combine. But yeah, for me, it's more about the test and training for that and yeah, just like putting on performances, really good fights.
I have a quick question. What's your wish list of fighters, opponents that you haven't been opposite yet? Like, do you have like a top five or a top two?
Not really. No, not really. Like,
I get in the octagon with or the ring with or whatever it is. It's a ring.
No one's specific. Yeah. No one's specific. Like, I'd like to fight a southpaw. I'd like to fight someone taller than me. That's never happened. I'd like to, you know, like just all different types of opponents, different styles. Like, that's what I'm more looking for. There's not like a specific person that I'm like, oh, I want to fight her. That like comes to my, you know, there's a lot of girls actually. My weight class, there's quite a few girls in it. It's a popular weight class, which is great. But yeah, it's more just like different styles that I'd like to challenge myself to fight against.
Well, what I'm hearing is you want to be challenged. And that's what that to me, knowing you as long as I've known you, watching you on social media, everything you do in life, you want to be challenged, whether it's the volleyball court, the training, the trips you take, the boyfriends you have, you want to be challenged, right? So it's all good. You know, you're a competitor, you know, through and through and through. Is the boxing, are you actively modeling still? Is this still in the goal of yours, and is boxing help the modeling? Is that a combination of the two too?
Yeah, it's, I mean, they're two separate things that I do, but I feel like it does help. I mean, I do like traditional modeling where it's like for a product that's got nothing to do with me. But a lot of jobs that I get these days are actually for social media, which is great because I can do it on my own terms in my own time, whether it's me creating content for another company's social media and I just like take the pictures or I actually like am, hang on, I've just done something to my screen. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, whether it's me taking the pictures for another company or it's me actually promoting products, which I'll only do if I actually really like the products. I don't just promote anything. otherwise, I'd be a millionaire promoting teeth whitening right now, but or like waist trainers or something stupid.
Yeah, like, but you need a waist trainer. Right, exactly. There's some things that are not believable. I got it.
Yeah, but you wouldn't believe like what people want you to promote, right? But anyway, so
I get a few interesting offers too that I turn down, trust me.
The best one that you've had.
Usually some like a sexual object related kind of thing. They want, you know, some kind of promotion. It's like, no, are you kidding me?
I mean, object.
You know,
the buffer lube.
Yeah, but actually, Sammy, you will not believe a couple of the things that have come across, you know, and I'm just like, I don't even answer them. I just say, forget it, you know?
That might work, Sammy, the buffer lube for when it's time.
We'll save that for when the career's on the way. We'll save that for when the career's on the way down. I mean, I'm doing a Manscaped. I'm doing another Manscaped commercial next week. That's about the closest I'll get to that.
All right.
And I have a commercial coming out for Blue Chew, which is a like a Viagra product.
Right. That's also for when it's time.
Whoa.
So that's about as close as I get.
Hang on. So like Avril would only endorse things that she believes in and is behind and maybe even used and endorses because she believes in it. Have you used?
Oh, that's too personal to ask, Sammy. I just believe that Bruce fully endorses the extra help that people might need if they need that help. So yeah, let's not make it a personal thing.
Considering the question, I think I should answer it.
Okay, all right. Trying to save you, Buff. Trying to save you.
Let's start with Manscaped. Okay, I told you before on the show, on the SNR show, that I was. That term metrosexual, which was created what, like 10, 20 years ago, whatever.
20, yeah.
I was metrosexual in my 20s, which, you know, is called taking care of yourself. I always thought the girls take care of themselves for me. Why shouldn't I take care of myself for them? And personally, I enjoy the whole grooming aspect of life. So I was doing that before it was even talked about. So Manscaped, yeah.
Manicures, pedicures, spa.
Manicure, pedicure, massage, facial. that day. I love those kind of spa days. Okay. Does that make me any less than a man? No. If anything, I think it should be attractive to the women that I've gone out with in my life, or just for myself, for my own personal grooming and caring for myself.
And as also when you take the women with you.
Which I absolutely, girlfriends, we've had our spa days. There's no question. It's one of my favorite things to do with someone I'm involved with. It's a beautiful way to spend the day. I'm sure you will agree with that, right? Just go it get is. Massage and get pampered all day long, you know, and then just have a great dinner and God knows what else takes place. Okay. So that being said, so now as far as the product, the Blue Chew, which
you don't need to go here, Buff. You don't need to.
Yes, he does.
No, I am not a user because quite frankly, thank God I don't have to be at this point in my life, which is enjoyable, but there are men out there that it's very useful for. And it's a, you know, there's two types, there's Viagra and there's Cialis. So what people do is they take either one and they'll repackage it under another name, but that's all it is. It's Viagra or Cialis. And if you remember, we discussed this on the show.
Yeah.
The reason that Viagra was discovered was originally it was supposed to be a blood pressure medicine. Mm-hmm. And they tested it on the military. But then they noticed that they all were walking around, you know, happy, right?
Right.
So it suddenly created a whole new product line. So that's basically
another name to up in arms.
Yeah. But my part in the commercial is like in the Manscaped. I'm the humor factor. Okay. They're actually, and I won't give anything away from their campaign because it's coming out, but they're using some very well-known UFC fighters and their girlfriends. And that's where the story's built around. And I add the comical humor to the commercial. Okay. So we'll leave it at that. There you go.
There you go. Are you guys ready for some sex and relationship emails?
Yeah, Avril, is there anything else you wish to promote on the box again before we get into this?
No, I think you covered it. September 18th. You said my Instagram. You can go to the link in my bio to get the pay-per-view link and watch me fight next weekend.
Fantastic. I think the audience, especially the men in the audience, want to hear you tell us what your Instagram handle is, okay?
Oh, it's just my name, Avril Mathy, A-V-R-I-L, like Avril Lavigne, and Mathy, like math, science, English, but with an I-E.
Perfect. Check her out, gentlemen. Check her out, ladies. Definitely somebody to follow. Because you know what? You're a role model in your own respect, Avril. The way you're leading your life on a daily basis is exciting. It's adventurous. It's athletic. It's positive. It's motivational. That's why you're on the show. And you're my friend. And that's why you're on the show. Yeah. Okay. Now, real quick, before we get into the SNR questions, I did want to tell you, Avril, on Saturday, September 11th, Evander Holyfield is fighting Vitor Belfort in boxing. Okay.
I know. I'm so excited. I might go, actually.
It just got
moved to Miami.
It just got moved to the Hard Rock down there in Miami. The reason why is Oscar De La Hoya, who originally was supposed to box Vitor Belfort, tested positive for COVID. California State Athletic Commission will not, from what I heard, there's a chance they would never authorize Evander Holyfield at 58 years old to box. So they immediately moved it down there. Snoop Dogg's part of it. A lot of rap. Michael is going to be announcing the event. Tito Ortiz is boxing Anderson Silva in the event.
You think Tito makes weight?
I don't know, but I'll tell you who did make weight. Are you ready for this, guys?
Mm.
Do you know who the full live in-person commentary person is going to be?
I heard it's Jim Lampley.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's the alternative commentary feed, which is going to be like online only. But Lampley is supposed to be on play-by-play.
Oh, okay. Lampley is on play-by-play. Yes, correct. Oh. But they're bringing in Trump, and Trump is going to host and do in-person commentary from where? I guess what, an isolated location?
I don't know. I mean, he's not going to say anything about anything that's happening inside the ring. He's just going to use this as his own personal Twitter because he doesn't have any, you know, forum anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, really quick question about Jim Lampley.
Mm.
Since his scandal, has he come back or is this the comeback?
Well, that scandal was years ago, right? The one where he was involved in the...
I'm not familiar. I'm not even familiar.
Was he arrested back then?
I don't remember. I just remember he was one of the guys...
It was domestic abuse.
Yeah, something like that.
As far as I know, he was on HBO Boxing until they did their final show.
Yes, he was. And the incident she's talking about was over 10 years ago. So okay. Let's just say that it has gone by the wayside.
Right. Yeah. I didn't even know about it. So.
Wow.
One of those things. What can we do? You know, or what, excuse me. One of those things. Stay clean, everybody. Be right to everybody. Okay, speaking of staying clean and being right, come on, TJ. We have a few questions that came in because
we do.
Let's take on it too. Let's go.
We do. All right. This first one is from Marcus. Marcus writes in. He says, "Hey there. My name is Marcus, and I'm 23 years old. I've been dating my 25-year-old girlfriend for the better part of 3 years. She told me recently that our sex life is getting dull and that I need to take more control in the bedroom. I'm not sure exactly what she means. I haven't flat out asked her what she means either, as I'm afraid to. How do I spice up our sex life? What does she mean when she says, take control?"
I've got my answer, but you know what? Let's go to, Sammy's got her finger up. Let the ladies go first.
Well, first of all, he said the main thing is that he hasn't even asked her yet what that means. So I would say the answer is you need to speak up and ask her, what exactly do you mean? But I'm thinking that maybe he's more submissive in the bedroom, like she's the alpha and he's the, you know, the beta. And she, you know, when you're an alpha lady in your professional life, and maybe Avril, you understand this, when you're alpha all day, every day, when you come home with your man, sometimes you want to be a girl and you want to be the one being taken control of and the one, you know, being made to feel feminine when you're always feeling masculine. And I can say that for myself. So maybe he just doesn't have a lot of, you know, gumption. And he doesn't make the plans and he doesn't initiate stuff and he doesn't initiate sex and he doesn't initiate dates. And he, yeah, that's what I say.
Yeah, Sammy, I agree with you 100%. Like, and just like little things like initiate the positions, put her in a position where you want her to be. And like, obviously listen to her, like what she wants and stuff, but like, be like, we're doing this. And like when you hold her strong, like not just like a soft, fluffy little touch, you know, like grab her hips, grab her shoulders, like grab her face and kiss her hard. Like, I don't know. But the most important thing, like,
it's an air conditioner buffer.
Now you have AC crank.
Keep going, Avril, please.
It's 99 cents for each additional minute buffer.
Yeah, there we go. 1-800, it's time. Okay, I got it. I agree with both of you. I think another aspect, well, first, the key aspect is communication. That's the first. He's got to communicate. Everything you both said, coming from a female point of view, is absolutely true. I mean, women love to be controlled as well as they love to be controlling. You know, you got to understand that little switch on the back of each of our backs. It's like from low to high, you know, where you want to go and be able to adjust. But what I'm also reading into this is that he's probably not being very original. He's probably being very missionary in his viewpoint towards everything, where it's always the same. There's no change. A little romantic thing is, as I mentioned on the show before, I mean, you can't just figure that sex is sex. You need to be turned on. You need to romance. You need to create the excitement, whether it's the rose petals leading to the bath that you've drawn for her with the champagne or the massage that you're going to give her. There's all these different ways. Take some control. Go back to your dating life. What would you do special for her during the first 3 weeks of your dating, much less after 3 years? Step back a little bit and try and re-excite everything. But communication is key, whether it's talking about what to do in the right situation or whether it's talking about doing it while you're in the situation. You know, a little dirty talk, a little directional talk never hurt anybody, right? It's all about communication.
Get too comfortable and complacent in their relationships and they don't try. Like once they're comfortable, they don't have to do the romance anymore. They don't have to do all that. Sorry, TJ.
No, I was just going to say, I think you're right. I think a lot of people fall into that rut where it's like, okay, we do this for 2.5 minutes and then we do this for 90 seconds and then we do this for hopefully 7 minutes. And then if it's not 7 minutes, I apologize and go get her a cookie or something. You know?
Well, so, let's hope the guy has 7 minutes in his gas tank. That could be another issue.
Yeah. So, well, who knows? One thing that I would say that I think we all alluded to here, but didn't really necessarily hit on the head, is if he doesn't know what to do, just do whatever you do, but do it confidently, because that goes a long way too. Because there's something along the lines of, you know, there's a big difference between do you like this or is this okay? Like, right. They're like, you got to be careful how you phrase things, you know, just be confident.
One salient point we're missing here is that the girl is 25,
right?
Girls mature much faster than men.
Yeah.
The man is 23.
Right.
And quite frankly, men are not, you know, as rules, I think the women, again, mature much faster. He's not a very experienced individual. Or maybe he is to a point. I don't mean to cast that aspersion on him.
Well,
but, you know, work on your experience. I mean, read up a little bit. Just expand out of your boundaries. You're 23. There's so much more to explore. And I guarantee you from his letter, they're not exploring.
I've heard this too. I've heard this too, that women seem to find their sort of peak in their preference in the bedroom in their mid to late 20s, if not their 30s, where I've heard multiple women guys say that sex in their 30s is much better than sex in their 20s. And if she's just more comfortable in the situation, then she's probably playing, you know, two different games compared to what he's playing. You know, it's hard to be compatible that way.
Right, but Sammy's shaking your head. And one thing before I ask Sammy, why are you shaking your head? Men usually sexually peak by the time they're 28. Women are peaking into their 30s. So
thank much you. More, that's what I was going to say. 30s to 40s.
30s to 40s. They're much more, well, that, I just said it. They're in their
peak. Yeah, but I'm not even talking about peak. I'm talking about just confidence in figuring out what they want. That's what I've heard, that a lot of women aren't really comfortable in their skin until they've been having sex for 10, 15 years.
Hey, bottom line, three words to this gentleman. Be a man.
Ooh.
Be a man. Okay? Be a man. That's
I was going to say, Avril, wait until you turn 50, girl. It fucking flips. You are, like, if you think you're the master of your destiny now and that you are in control and you've got it all figured out, the minute you hit 50, game over, you really fucking know. It's amazing. Like, the day I woke up at 50, it was a whole different thing. Like, I was just... I've been here half a fucking century. I absolutely know what I'm talking about. If I stand by something, I fucking know. So I think as you get older, it definitely gives you the confidence.
But do you know what I think is the big thing about the different age gap between men and female peaking with sexually? I think hormones have a part to play in it, but I think the confidence, like you said, TJ, is a big thing. And I think that comes because when women are young, we're told don't have sex, don't date boys, don't stay away from boys, they're bad, don't be a slut, don't be a tart, don't sleep with multiple men, don't whatever, blah, 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 don't sleep with anyone until you're married. Whereas boys, it's encouraged, like, how many can you sleep with before you're 12 years old? You know, it's like, so of course boys, by the time they're 17 years old, are going to be much more confident and know what they're...
Did you just say before you were 12 years old? What are you guys doing in Australia? My God.
I'm exaggerating.
Okay, all right.
I'm exaggerating on all levels here. But my point is that, like, it's more encouraged for men, especially as they're younger. It's like a trophy, like, as they're young to be having sex. So, of course, they're going to be more sexually confident at a younger age, whereas women, typically, it takes them a little longer to figure it out because as you get older and you do start to date a few different people, you're like, oh, no one actually cares about this. That's so stupid trying to, like, not have sex with people and not date people when I wanted to, you know.
Right.
Like, if you don't want to, fine, that's one thing. But, like, you know, holding yourself back because of what, you know, society might think of you or what a future boyfriend might think of you, you realize that it's all bullshit as you get older. And so you just become more comfortable doing whatever you want to do. And then so you do get more sexual experience as you get older, typically, I think.
I think it's interesting that you say that because I had a buddy that, you know, we were all in high school. He started dating this girl, and this girl was a college age girl, you know, a couple of years older than us. And she knew what she wanted, and she was really upfront with him. And because she was so comfortable in her sexuality, it was a turnoff for him. And think about that for a moment. Like, the idea that she knew what she wanted and wanted to help him give her what she wanted, he was like, like, what are you talking about? Like, that's amazing.
That falls under the label of male performance syndrome.
Yeah.
Right? It's like
I think that falls under a culture of double standards, Bruce, to be honest with you, because
I agree with you. The old double standard that if a guy sleeps with a lot of girls, he's a stud. And if the woman sleeps with a lot of guys, she's okay. So yeah, however you want to put
just
it.
In your late high school years, somebody should know what they're doing because someone could lose an eye.
God.
Well, equation, I was that person.
I mean, somebody had to be, Sam.
Let's go on to the second question.
Yes, let's do it. Okay, this one's for Sam. It's kind of odd. Let's see if you guys pick up on the weird vibes like I did when I pre-read it. It says, Sammy, I'm 19 years old, and I'm currently in my first year of college. I'm single, and I have a bit of an awkward dilemma on my hands. I'm very much attracted to a man who is a little bit older than me, and if I am to pursue a relationship with him, it would definitely raise a lot of eyebrows. The man I'm attracted to is 32 years old. He and I have had an intimate and professional relationship since I was 15. We get along amazingly well, and I feel incredibly safe and secure when I am with him. I want to pursue him and see if he feels the same way about me. Here's the tricky part. When we met each other, I was 15. When he was the assistant coach on my freshman basketball team, he was my head coach when I made the varsity team 2 years later. I owe him so much. How should I go about this, Lauren?
It's a woman, right?
Yes, 19-year-old okay. woman pursuing or wanting to pursue her 32-year-old former high school basketball coach.
Do you, first off, before you guys answer that, do you get the feeling they were intimate when she was underage?
I didn't, because she's trying to figure out if he's interested in her.
Okay, let's leave it at that then. Go ahead. Sam, Avril?
I think given that she's now 19, then if she feels that way, I would like flirt and see what reaction comes back, because it's kind of like shady lines to cross if you go and like put yourself out there and he's not interested. So I would kind of just like flirt and see. But as far as like, is it wrong? No, I don't think it's wrong. Like, I had that fantasy when I was young too, to like be with like, you know, someone much older than me. And I think it's a phase that I grew out of, but it's just a part of being a woman and being experimental, and some things turn some girls on, and, you know, some girls like to be with younger men, some girls like to be with older men for different reasons too. And especially when you're 19, a lot of guys your own age can seem very immature, like we were just talking about before. So I can understand, you know, some girls are attracted to power in a man with like a job and security and like, you know, leadership and like, you know, seems stable and something going on. Just like something that popped into my mind. I was in a taxi driver in Greece, in a taxi one time in Greece, and the taxi driver, I think he thought I was like 18 years old, like his daughter. So he started giving me advice that he told me he tells his daughter. He says, you should never, and before the age of 25, you should never be in a relationship for longer than 2 months. I was like, huh? He said, yeah, because you need to date as many people as possible to understand what you want and to figure out what turns you on and what you like and what you expect and don't expect from a relationship. But you don't want to be there too long that you get attached, because before the age of 25, you don't know what you want. That was his advice. And I honestly think that's great advice. So as far as this girl, like, yeah, I don't, as far as the age thing, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Like, she's of age and she's the younger one deciding, like, it, you know, that's what she wants. So by all means, like, go for it. But just because of the relationship of being like a coach and that they have had that longer relationship, I wouldn't be too like forceful, because he might not feel comfortable with it.
That's
so
true.
Maybe just try and see what happens.
A good point. Graham was a very good point. What age do you think, let's take a,
I'd like Sammy's thought on this, if it's possible.
Yeah, before sorry. Yes, Sammy, please go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no. Okay. So I was underage with my very first boyfriend, who was a professional athlete. And he has since passed away. And when I was underage, I will remain ageless, but I was underage. I also was a top teen model, traveling the world with my own apartment in other countries,
right, and
very much independent and on my own. So I wasn't your average later teenager, right? And he also was 30. So our relationship was complicated because I was too young to really understand. It was my first real relationship. And I think I was looking at him more fatherly because he was older and had zero relationship with my father. And sex wasn't really a big thing for us. It was more the companionship. And I was very adult for my age. So I understand that part. The only thing that creeped me out a little bit was I was unclear, like he was her assistant coach of one team and then a coach of another team. And that to me just screams grooming. I've watched all this bullshit on Netflix and whatnot. And like all these crazy series and clickbait and catfish and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I just don't know, or I didn't catch it in her email, like what he's given towards her, like what his vibe to her is, or is it just her wanting to pursue him?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, has he been grooming her to be of age? But then again, she's 19. She could have easily had sex with him at 18.
Right.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, Sam, like the whole grooming narrative, that's like really touchy situation here because there is some truth to that. There are people that have sort of nefarious relationships in an effort to try to do something down the road. And that can be very psychologically damaging to young men and women. That said, though, like you both have said it, she is of age. Like, are we going to shame her into not pursuing something that it's clear that she believes that she wants of her own accord? Like, she even said, like, I don't know how this guy's going to essentially respond to it. So how do I go about it?
Well, I think we all kind of laid it out there. It really comes down to, does she want to go ahead and make the move, see the reaction? She is 19. He is 32. My first thought is that's really a young girl for a 32-year-old to be going out with. But my question, but then again, I can understand the experience for both. Here's a question I have that's related to this. Avril, how old are you? May I ask you?
34.
30. Amazing. You look amazing. And Sammy, thanks. You look amazing too. Absolutely.
For 55, so thank you.
I know when you said you were 55, I was like, what? I thought you were my age.
I look amazing too, Bruce. You don't have to say it. It's okay.
Thank you. You got it, TJ. You got it, TJ. Now, let's take
I thought you were
question.
Younger than me, TJ.
I'm not.
Let's take this question and let's relate it to Avril's age in a second. Because if I relate it to Sammy, I'm going to say, would you date a 90-year-old man? Just kidding. So how old are you comfortable with Avril? Like, for instance, even me at my age at 64, I mean, there's 30 plus year old women that would like, you know, they tell me they'd like to go out with me. And I'm like, I'm just, aren't I too old? You know, I mean, where do you draw the line? I've read where 13 years younger is perfect, you know, no matter what age it is, but I think it's all personal preference. Is there a rule?
Avril, what's the youngest rule to follow? That you
well, okay. Here's something from personal experience. So I was married before I left Australia. Actually, right before I met you, Bruce, I had just divorced my husband, my ex-husband. Right. So I met him when I was 21. We got married when I was 23, divorced when I was 28. And he was 10 years older than me. So here's a thing that you have to understand as a young girl dating an older guy. For me, it was something that I was like really attracted to, you know, like older guys for me were such studs. Like I would have dated a guy that was like 40 and not cared. It wasn't about the age for me. It was about this like maturity and this confidence and this sureness. And they had like direction in life. And just, I don't know, there was so much that was attractive about it for me. But what I didn't realize and what I learned from that relationship is like, what's more important than age is where the people are at in their life. Like you said, Sammy, as a teenager, you were living like a European girl, probably, where, you know, you're living on your own, you're independent, you're, you know, you have a job, you've been working, you've not been reliant on your parents for many years, whereas you can have a 25-year-old male in America who's still living at home. And a lot of 25-year-olds, not just males, sorry, but females as well, are living at home. So there's a big maturity difference, a big life experience difference. Like by 25, I'd lived in countries all over the world. And then there's other people that have never even left home. So for me, that's a bigger thing. And it's also like, you have to think, it's not just about you, like this 30, like, so I was 21 meeting a 31-year-old guy. His direction in life, he wants to get married, have kids, settle down, have a business. Like that's the path that he's on. And I sort of was not at that path when I was 21. And we, you know, navigated it together for a while, but ultimately we were on two separate paths. And that's something that you have to think about as well, is like, there's one thing to have like attraction and have a great relationship and all that, but there's also compatibility too. It's also like, is this something that I like, but then you can meet like a 40-year-old guy who has no interest in settling down, doesn't want kids anytime soon. And guys are in a fortunate position where they can do this. So for me, it's not about age specifically. It's more about like being on the same path as someone in life. And my boyfriend now is actually exactly the same age as me. He's like 3 months older than me, and it's perfect, but it's not necessarily about the age. It's more that we're like at the same stage of life.
Right.
Like we both want kids, but not yet. We both want to travel a little bit more together. We're both like sort of building on our careers and, you know, working on that. And we're very active. Like, you know, for me, those things are more important than the actual age.
Well, you're building a base to grow and work from. Yeah. In business and in personal life, you've got to have a solid base or the pyramid you've built falls apart, you know?
Yeah. And you got to realize that it's more than just having a relationship with someone. I mean, if you just want to hook up with them, by all means, do whatever you want. But if you want to have a relationship with someone or explore that, it's got to be more than about attraction. It's got to be about compatibility as well. Like, do you want the same things? Totally. Do you have the same, you know, are you at the same stage of life?
Hey, real quick, getting back to our emailer, I would just say this, and this is the one bit of advice that I think we can all agree on. We're not necessarily rooting for this outcome, but like whatever she decides to do, just prepare for whatever that relationship turns into to basically destroy the one that you have now, because it's not going to be the same afterwards. Maybe it's better, but it's not going to be what it is now, where it's innocent largely, and you're not going to be able to go back to that, I don't think.
I have one
more. She's also 19, very inexperienced, where he is somewhat hopefully experienced. She could be setting herself up for a little bit of disaster. So
it's 2021, Buff. I don't know if anybody's inexperienced at 19 anymore. I'm just saying. Yeah, that's
true. Well, also, I have.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say one more thing. I think at 19, you think that everything matters and that it's going to stick with you for the rest of your life.
That's true. Like,
there were so many guys that I didn't hook up with when I was younger because I was like, oh, I don't want to like ruin this friendship or ruin this whatever we had going on. I'm not even friends with these people a few years later, so who cares? I should have just hooked up with them and see what happened, you know? Yeah. Like, whatever.
Remember when high school was everything, you know?
I was going to say advice for her because it seems like...
Wait, Sammy, one second, Sammy, please hold that thought. So in real, you know, that brings back an old thing. It's like the girl looks at the guy and says, no, I want to just, we're friends. So the answer the guy should give, well, what, do you only sleep with the people you hate? I mean, I don't understand. Yeah. I had to get that one out.
I was going to say really quick that she asked how to do this and we haven't addressed like how.
Right.
I would say I'm a big fan of not putting anything in writing.
Oh, that's true.
Do not be like, I've been in love with you since I was an underage varsity,
Yeah.
No. And also texts, words take out the intonation of and the feeling of what's behind the message and misread wrong.
He might not even believe her if he just reads that in a text message too.
She needs to reach out to him and meet with him with coffee and get this off of her chest. And I think that's the best way to do it is in person.
So here we get back again. What is the key thing factor in these two questions with the answer? Oh, communication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We get back to communication. It's key in everything. We got about 5 minutes left.
All right. We got one more. It's not very long and I don't know how to figure out the words to change it. So we're just straight up say it. Tommy writes in, Bruce, is it true that I can change the way I taste by eating pineapple? Are there any other foods that will do this?
To my knowledge, the taste he's talking about, we all know what he's talking about. Okay, so.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate
Thank you, Sammy. Appreciate it. That's why you're on the show.
Somebody might not know.
Yeah.
I've always been told that pineapple is a very key factor and very healthy for men to ingest for that reason as well.
That's to make it taste better, right? Like that's rumor on the street.
That's what I understand.
Are there any foods to stay away from?
Oh God, asparagus.
Well,
yes.
No, but really? Asparagus.
Well, I mean,
no asparagus.
Because the uric acid. It makes it, within a minute.
No, I mean, like no asparagus on a date. If you want to go down on your partner or you want to take a piss next to him or her, fuck it. Do not do it. It fucking stinks. Sorry.
That's genetic, by the way. Not everyone.
I don't know one asparagus eater that smells good down there.
Right. I understand that. So, like, literally, if you do the DNA testing, it'll tell you if you have the variants for your urine to change scent through the ingestion of asparagus. So,
I'll tell you something that is good: coconut water. Coconut water is very good for guys and their sperm taste.
Okay. So pina coladas,
yogurt,
everybody.
Yogurt is good for women.
Same thing, pina coladas.
Mm. Pina coladas. And let's not forget the female side, yogurt, right? Yogurt. Am I correct?
You can put it inside or you could put it inside. You could.
I didn't mean putting it inside, Sammy. I'm talking about ingesting it.
You do it for the pH balance.
Are you serious?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, I've had that supposed to be really good. Like years ago, I had a yeast infection that you get from wearing wet swimmers in hot weather for hours at a time. And so when you take the antibiotics that you have to take for it to get rid of it,
right,
it destroys all the bacteria, the good and the bad. And my boss actually at the time, because I had to ask for days off work, he was like, oh yeah, and don't forget to get some yogurt. And like, I was like, oh, thanks, mate.
And you're gonna flip the fuck out. Boric acid capsules, and you stick this capsule in your vagina, and it balances your pH. Oh yes, boric.
That sounds acid. So scary to me. I just hear the word acid.
Bruce, I mean,
women. Girls, look it up. Listening.
Being a woman is not for wimps, Buff. Like what they have to do. Like, yeah, man, we got it easy.
Hey. Being a woman, you've got to be a mechanic. As far as we're concerned, our artillery is on the outside. We can see everything, okay? You guys, it's a whole nother story.
Well, not exactly. Yeah. The proctologist, don't they go up your bum?
Yeah, and that age is getting lower and lower by the second. So I think it's 45 now. Everyone's supposed to get that checked.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know how we got to the other side. I was
get the
about
oil
the
check.
I didn't know how we got
no.
back real quick. But
the oil check, yeah. Colonoscopies and prostate exam by 45.
Yeah. There you go.
Not all the men's things are on the outside, Bruce. Some of you men have things on the inside. Prostate.
Okay, we all do. We're all supposed to have that.
But you guys like it. I'm sorry.
Allegedly. Not everybody. Not everybody.
Really?
I mean... So that's the question. I've heard this so many times where people will say, is it gay to play with my prostate, with my girlfriend? It's like, no, that's pretty heterosexual. I mean, it's you and your girlfriend. No. I don't know how that's gay. Like,
it's called an erogenous zone. Okay.
Yeah. And that's how we're wired. Your prostate is designed to make you do that thing.
Do you want to know the craziest thing? That so your anus has more nerve endings in that little anal area than your entire body. So that's why the anus is very stimulated easily with finger and tongue play, and girls and guys like it. All anuses have lots of nerve.
Avril's like, why the hell did I come on this show? Like, what is happening right now?
I'm just laughing at all of this because it's like, you know, when people are like, oh, no, I don't like it. It's like, shut up. Yeah, you do.
You like it. You just don't want to say you like it. That's
all it
is.
You're just too scared to try it. If you don't like it, you're just too scared to try it. Like, grits and balls.
What's the old adage? Try it. You'll like it.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what I find funny is we're talking about confidence and all these things, and you have a large swath of men, especially in this country, that do not want to explore that part of their body because they think it says something about their masculinity. And it's like, you're literally doing it with your straight heterosexual partner. I don't know what you're worried about.
Okay. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, when I'm with a girlfriend or somebody, if you're attracted and you've got great communication, anything goes. Okay. Enjoy.
Yeah, until you say it doesn't, and then you stop it. Right.
No, then you got your safe word. Just have your safe word and it's all done.
My safe word is stop.
I was gonna say, guys listening, if you would like women to investigate your anal area, I would give you one tip. It's gotta be clean.
Take a shower.
There cannot be any smell of anything. And I actually would recommend Irish Spring. I love it. I grew up on it. Like that was our soap in our house. And I just, you know, men that smell like Irish Spring, it's very pleasing. So,
I find it troubling that you have to put this PSA out there. You think that's like common knowledge.
go.
You know what? It's common knowledge. It's common knowledge. It's not common practice. And we get back to what I said in the beginning of the show. Women take care of themselves, hopefully, take care of themselves for us.
Right.
Let's take care of ourselves for them. And then you have the ultimate experience.
You don't want to be that stinky asshole, literally or figuratively.
On that note, let's just sign off on the show as
we should. Avril, we got to have you back sometime. Best of luck in the fight.
Yeah, we got to have you do this show again. This is really fun.
Yeah, I could actually go on like this.
Questions.
No, I could continue the show for another hour on the subject. I just got my training. Yeah. My training session starts in 20 minutes, so I got to get ready for that too.
Get it, Brucey.
So, I always get it, baby. I'm gonna get it and put it in.
We're gonna have really, to really ice. Hard. What just happened right there? There's a lot that just went on in that inner. Let's go, Bruce. We're gonna get kicked off the internet.
All right, Avril, we're gonna sign off. So go ahead and tell the audience whatever you would like to tell them. Go again. Let us know where to reach you. The whole bit.
So Saturday, it's gonna be during the daytime. You have to check what time the time translates to here in America, but like it'll be nighttime in Dubai, so that means it's going to be like morning or daytime that the fight will be on Saturday the 18th of September, so not this coming Saturday, next Saturday. And you can go to my Instagram at Avril Mathy, which is just my name. The link to watch the fight is in my bio. It's also coresports.world. That's the promoter, that's the main website, same thing, same link. That you can tune in, watch the fight, and but follow me on Instagram and you can watch all my fights. Oh, or YouTube. Find me on YouTube. I have all the fights up there too, my previous ones.
Yeah, check it out. They're really cool to watch. I want to endorsement. Very cool to watch. She's good, TJ. She's good.
I believe it.
I'm getting better. I'm getting better and better every fight, I like to think.
Every day.
But especially every fight.
Now so after the show.
This will be a good one.
And now after the show, we're all more educated. Brother, the after party. You're more educated for the after party.
Yeah, right. All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Of course. Stay with us until we close. Definitely. Okay. A pleasure having you on. We're going to have you back, Avril. We're going to have you back.
Okay. Sounds good.
Sammy, go ahead.
Sam's Pajama Party on Instagram, The Single Life on Twitter, and Sammy Phillips on Facebook. And I don't want to hear, guys, how I have 19 different names on 19 different socials.
Didn't say anything.
It is what it is. It is.
Didn't say anything.
It is what it is.
None. Didn't
and
say
then,
a word.
Of course, everybody follow Penthouse, my employer, who I love so much. We have all kinds of cool shit happening. So go on over there, Instagram and Twitter, and check us out. That's it.
Very cool. Hey, while we're on the show, Avril, have you ever modeled nude in your life for anybody?
Just on my OnlyFans.
What? I'm sorry.
Her OnlyFans.
Just on my OnlyFans. Yeah.
Not for anyone else. Oh, okay. Got it.
OnlyFans. You don't know what OnlyFans
is? This is where Bruce pretends he doesn't know what OnlyFans is.
Like,
no, that's just.
Yeah.
Is that a paid site?
It's an exclusive.
Well, you subscribe for free, and then it's like pay-per-view content.
Oh, so you have an account there?
Yeah.
Well, you better tell everybody about it since you're talking about it.
You can also find this in my link in bio on Instagram. If you go to
thickens.
Yeah, if you go to avrilsfans.com, it links to my OnlyFans.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. So you didn't know about me, Bruce. I thought you knew me.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My boyfriend gets involved sometimes too.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I know exactly what's going on in this OnlyFans. And guys, I think you probably need to join it. Not me.
I already have an OnlyFans. You can sign up for my OnlyFans right now. It's only 7 cents a month.
So, Sammy, you should, maybe pitch to Penthouse doing a boxing spread on Avril.
I know. It's already, notes are already taken.
She arranged, Avril, Sammy arranges this kind of stuff. This is a key contact. So okay. I'll send you her information, Sammy.
I already followed her. And then I'm Sam's Pajama Party and I'm private. So just follow me back and I'll accept you. I accept everybody. But
that's not her Twitter name though. It's at The Single Life or whatever.
Yes, it's The Single Life on Twitter. But I followed her on
I got it in there, Buff. I got it in there.
We got to have Avril back. This just took on a whole new meaning now. Now I Boxer, OnlyFans, model, got it. Okay, and God, women are making so much money on that site. It's crazy. I read about that school teacher.
It's insane.
You can make up to like $200,000
a month.
It's like, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, mind blowing. We sit here and we look at the account and we're just laughing. Like, how is this real? Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. All right, everybody, we're going to have more conversation on this. You're definitely going to have to come back of Real. I want to touch on the subject more so. Maybe we'll have you both on next month again. Sammy, do you mind if a Real joins us again?
I would love it. I think okay. It's fantastic.
A Real, you up for it?
Yeah, sounds good. When I come back from my fight, let's talk about it.
When you come back from your fight, absolutely. All right, everybody, I want you all to have a great week. Avril, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a pleasure to call you my friend. Pleasure of knowing you all these years and to watch your own evolutionary process as it develops. And now with OnlyFans, it's even getting more developing. So, okay. Sammy, love you. You know I do. Have a great week. Everything good. TJ, all the best. Have a great week. Everybody, all I can tell you is I've been hinting on something, but I suggest that everybody watch Monday Night Football this Monday night. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Oh, Monday Night Football.
Is this where the ad's playing?
No. There's I'm gonna go to the game. Let's put it that way.
Oh, even better.
Oh yeah,
and
no.
That's all I'm gonna tell you.
What are you gonna do, Brucey?
I'm not telling anybody anything.
It's not time yet, Sammy. It's not time.
It's
the Raiders
hot.
Are playing the Baltimore sure. Ravens. It's in Las Vegas. Watch Monday Night Football.
Vegas, that's an interesting city for
and
you.
And while you're at it. Enjoy a glass of Puncher's Chance. And for my fans in the UK, go to... From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but maybe afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, UFC, politics, film, TV, collectibles, you name it, we talk about it. It's been a week gone by. We had a hell of a show last week. We got a very, very fun and funny and exciting show this week. I'm here with my co-host, TJ DeSantis. TJ, how are you?
I'm good. I feel like I'm in the Brady Bunch right now. It's like, here's a story of two lovely ladies that are on a podcast that is Bruce's own. Something.
That's very good, TJ, actually.
Thanks. I've been practicing.
All right. There you go. Well, we're on the show, so now that you mentioned the two lovely ladies, the first lovely lady we have is somebody everybody knows about. We don't know what she's going to say till she says it. We laugh with her. We've cried with her, and we've gotten mad with her. So we'll bring her back on. The wonderful, the sensual, the beautiful, the ever-loving Penthouse Pet director, writer, star, you name it, she's done it, Sammy Phillips. Hi, Sammy.
Hi, guys. I just want to know, when have you ever truly been mad at me? Never, ever.
Oh,
never, ever, ever. Oh, I didn't say mad at you.
No.
What I meant, we got mad at the world together.
Oh,
we rant and we pay.
No, I.